Thank you so much. Well, good evening. My name is Travis Phillips. I'm the lead pastor here at Antioch, and there is a lot going on, a lot of good things going on tonight. And as we got to celebrate a little earlier in the service, these babies and these children, I really felt as though God was wanting to teach us something through them. And as we celebrate in this season the coming of a baby, you know, the Savior of the world that came in a way that nobody was expecting, that not many people were looking for. And so there's something I believe tonight that God wants to teach us and really reveal to us about the gift of children and also how we are to be more childlike. And so what a wonderful opportunity and fun thing it is to dedicate these babies. And I was sharing with the parents before the service tonight, it really is a holy moment. And maybe more so for the parents than for the children at this point in their lives. But it's a holy moment because you stand here before your church, the people that you walk with in this community that's following after God. You stand up here and say, we want to raise these kids that God has given us to follow after and become more like Jesus. And that is a tall order in this world. Sometimes I can feel overwhelmed by that, with my desire to do that, to show them the love of the Father in heaven, to demonstrate who Jesus is and what he's like, and want to reveal that to them and train them in that, and then fall so short of it so often, and continually have to ask their forgiveness and ask God for his grace to do it. And so to stand up here, it really is a holy moment for these parents to say, God, we need your grace. We need your support. But with all of who we are, we commit to these things. And by your grace, we will see it happen. We will see these kids trained up in the ways of the Lord. And when they're old, they will not stray from it. Okay, and so that is who we want to be as a church in supporting these families. It's who we want to be as parents as we lead these kids in the ways of the Lord. And it really is just amazing. It's amazing to hold the miracle of life that is a baby. To look in their eyes, we're on number four, and I still sit there with my son, and just when they're all happy and smiling and getting to that stage, especially for me at least, when they are recognizing that you were there and you kind of do this face and they laugh. I mean, you could just stand there for hours and do that with this little baby, and just because of the joy of who God has given you and the responsibility of it. But it is such a joy. It is so amazing, even though there are many unamazing moments. And a lot of you who are standing up here are having some of those, and that's okay. It is natural, though the whole process is amazing, to have very unamazing, in fact, maybe downright dreadful moments in the middle of the night or whenever else, because it's hard. It's hard. And it should be hard. Because anything worth living for, anything worth giving your life to is going to be hard. There's no easy way to parenting and training a child in the ways of God. It takes diligence on the parents' part and discipline on the parents' part to stay the course and model for your kids who they are called to be. But they are such gifts from God. They are gifts from God. And know that even in the unamazing moments, that God is a giver of good gifts. He is a giver of good gifts. And so tell yourself that in any of those moments where you're about to pull your hair out, God has given me a good gift in this screaming, pooping machine right here in front of me. It is a good gift. And get his eyes, his vision for who this child is. In fact, I wanna stay here for a moment. James 1:17 says this of who God is. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good gift is from God. God is good. It is who he is. It is in his nature. He is good. And so every good gift that we receive, it is from God. It is coming from above. Matthew writes about it in this way in chapter 7, verse 9. he asks this question: which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It's just who God is. He gives good gifts. And so when we as his children ask him, he gives. And this season is all about giving, but really the big story, the headline, is the gift of all gifts that comes in the form of a baby, as we've been talking about, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and it is a gift that surpasses all gifts. It is a good gift. It is a priceless gift. It is a gift that cost a lot. But Jesus traded the glories of heaven to come to the mire of this earth because God is good. Because it was in God's heart for us to walk with him. And he had a plan, and that plan involved the gift of Jesus. Kids are awesome because they know this. They believe it. They believe it about you and I. If you're a parent, they believe it about you. Even if you're a non-parent, you have a relationship with kids. They just have this innate trust and belief that you have their best in mind, and that their joy is what you are consumed by. You know, that you are there to give them joy and to meet their needs. And they just trust. They trust. And so I love it when we're teaching our kids about God or about Jesus, because they're just like, yeah, he's a healer. He'll heal. Let's pray. Why don't we pray about that? Oh, yeah, we should pray about that. Because they just believe it. They take it to heart. If you say that God is good, they believe that he is good. If when we tell them that Jesus is with them when they're in their bed at night, they believe it. They may have questions like, where is he again? Like, I don't see him. We get that kind of thing. And then that's a very hard task to explain to a 3 or 4 year old where he is and why you don't see him. But they just believe. It's like, oh, okay. Well, he's here. He's with us. He gives us hope. He loves us. And so it comes out in the way that they pray. It comes out in these wonderful and beautiful moments of hearing their expressions of devotion to Jesus, who they love because he has loved them. It's humbling because they believe it of me as well. But I fall short. And one of the most important things that I've learned to do as a parent, and I mentioned a little earlier, and that's to ask for forgiveness. That's not what daddy should have done. That's not how daddy should have responded. That wasn't like Jesus, was it? Will you forgive me? I am sorry that I responded in this way. It's so important to distinguish between God's father heart and my sometimes lack of a father's heart, my lack of right responses. And so we distinguish that. But children just believe, and they forgive. Oh, that's the great thing. That children will forgive. You ask them for forgiveness, and it's done. It's over. You're forgiven. The water has gone under the bridge. It's done. And so that is the beautiful thing about kids. They just trust. They just love. They believe the best. They believe the best. And so there's something that we have to learn about being kids tonight. And here's the good news about following God. So now we're putting ourselves in the position of kids. We are children. We are God's children. Here's the difference between me as a father and God as a father. God never overpromises or underdelivers. So all of God's promises, anything that you read about who he is, the promises in his word, in the Bible, all these promises are yes. They are true. There is no shadow of doubt when it comes to God's word and his promises. They are true. He does not promise something that he is not able to deliver. God does not underdeliver. He is all that we expect, hope, or imagine, and then more. That's who God is. And so as we walk with God, we learn from this heart of a child, and we move to this place of just trusting God. Of just trusting him. And here's where I want to go with that tonight as we've lit the hope candle. And the hope candle goes with the candle of prophecy, because as these prophetic words were coming out in the Old Testament, there was these prophetic words about a coming Messiah, a Savior that would save the people of Israel, and not only the people of Israel, but the Gentiles, which is all the non-Israelite people. So this Savior that would come and that would sit on his throne. And there was these prophecies, these words that were foretold of how you would know who this Messiah was. There was over 300 of them. Some people say over 400. There were a lot of these prophetic words. And you can think of all these prophetic words something like a fingerprint. Something like a thumbprint that everyone has in a unique way. And that there would be one match for these prophetic words. Because when you know, people have done all the studies, all the research, and the numbers are astronomical. Like trillion to the eighth degree or something ridiculous that I don't even understand. And, you know, you stack 1,500 pieces of paper across the state of Texas and you got to grab, all these kind of things that are just, they're like, okay, that would never happen in a million, trillion, however many years. And so that they've done the studies. But beyond that, it is a beautiful, beautiful picture of God saying, I am sending you a Messiah, a Savior. There is hope. And I'm going to tell you about this coming. And then when Jesus comes, his life fulfills every single one of them. Down to the very letter. And I love it. And if you are into reading through those things and you have questions, how does that work? What does that look like? There are great things to read. Articles to read, books to read. Lee Strobel has a book on the case for Christmas. There's all kind of things that you could read about that really from a literal, tangible kind of being able to wrestle with facts kind of way that you're able to look through this and see that, wow, God has had his hand in this. There is such credible, verifiable evidence in the coming of the Messiah and what was foretold over 700 years before his birth. Things that he had no control over, like where he was born, how he would die. All of these kind of facts that happened in the life of Christ that are pretty amazing. That are pretty amazing. And so we go to the source, which is the Word of God, and we look at this story that leads up that was gave hope to people about the coming of the Messiah. And I want us to turn tonight to one of those prophecies. And it's in Isaiah 7. One of the first and one of the most significant. And the Lord is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And the people of Israel are in a time of needing to trust God. God is saying, I'm going to come through. I will be faithful. And he says, to show you, I'm going to give you a sign. And Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about a few more of the prophetic words that were spoken about the coming of Jesus. But we're going to start here with the coming of a son that would be born into this world. So we have this peculiar picture for people of this day of a baby coming to save them. Okay, because a lot of people's minds, they're thinking, who's going to overthrow the current government that is ruling and reigning over us, that is maybe persecuting us? Who is going to come and rule and reign? The Messiah surely will come, and now we will be at the top, and we will rule and reign. And now all of a sudden there is this picture of a baby, of a son that would be born. And then maybe even more perplexing is that he will be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. Throw on top of that that he will be born of a virgin. People know that that doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. What is that talking about? So there's peculiarity all around this prophetic word. What do we do with this? There's a baby that's going to come from a woman that is a virgin, and it will be God with us. God with us. What this is, there's a lot of wonder here. Wonder in that actually asking questions, what does this mean? and also the wonder of the glory of it all. How will this work? God with us? Now that brings hope. That prophetic word speaks hope into my very soul, that God is going to show up, that he will be with us. And it will be marked by the miraculous, by the supernatural. And that's one of the reasons that the virgin birth is so important. It marks the supernatural. It is the very beginning of Jesus coming into this earth. He was conceived by a virgin. The Holy Spirit came on her, spoke into existence, just like he did the world. The conception of Jesus. And it's supernatural. It is not mythological. There is a big difference between coming up with an explanation of how Jesus could be fully God and fully man. This is God's design. It is nothing for the God who created the universe to speak life into the womb of Mary. It is nothing for him. And so he did it, and I believe, and I want to share a couple of reasons of why the virgin birth is important. And the first reason is because it denotes the supernatural. It denotes that this is outside of human hands or human control. That the condition of man was outside of man's control. That God had to step in. Not only did he have to step in, but he had to step in a supernatural way so that everything that follows in the life of Christ and in his people believing by faith in Christ would take just that, faith. It would take faith in a supernatural God. It would take steps of faith and belief, not of just simple rationale or man's understanding and wisdom, but it denoted that God is going to come in the supernatural in the person of Jesus. And we would have to believe in him without understanding, without being able to explain, but that we would have to believe in a supernatural God. I love another thing that the virgin birth depicts, and we see it throughout Scripture, and that is that God is a God who initiates. He initiates. He came to Mary and said, "You will give birth to a son." How will I give birth? I'm a virgin. The Holy Spirit will come on you and overshadow you, and you will give birth to a son, and his name will be called Jesus. There is this initiative that God takes, that I am going to come and I'm going to rescue humanity from the sinful state that they are in because I love them. I will initiate. And over again, when we see God as a God who initiates, it blows the minds off. It blows the minds of people in this day. Because every God that they have heard of, that they have known, that has been talked about in history, is a God that demands people to pursue them, demands people to make sacrifices, demands people to cut themselves, to gain approval. And God is saying, "I approve of you just as you are, and I'm going to come so that you can get, so that I can provide a way for you to come out, to come to me." And so God initiates with us. And this virgin birth is a way that God, from the very beginning, shows his desire to be in relationship with us. And lastly, the virgin birth shows the nature of Jesus in being fully God and fully human. Another concept that is somewhat mind-blowing to think about, that Jesus is the Son of God. He is fully God, and yet he has limited himself to the flesh and bones of humanity. And that's what happened. And so he was born to very ordinary circumstances. And yet he is the glorious God. That is why the story is a story of such great wonder. It is why this story grasped the attention of young kids. And as a side note, just for parents, or if you're uncles or whatever, if you have influence with kids, make it about Jesus. I love giving the presents and doing all of those things, but our kids need to know that this wonder and amazement around Christmas is not centered around Santa Claus. It is not centered around getting these fun gifts under this awesome-looking lit-up tree and who knows what's under there. All of those things are great, but we've got to know that it is Jesus at the center. They've got to know the story. Our wonder and amazement needs to be caught up in this story, in looking at it again, in looking at it at a deeper level. I know maybe many of you grew up and, you know, somebody read the Christmas story and it was like, oh yeah, it's a great story. But don't let it just become another story. It is a story. It is the story of amazement and wonder that we're able to get caught up in to once again say, God, you are worthy. We want to give glory to you. We trust you. You are the supernatural living God. And our lives today ought to still be marked by trust and faith in the supernatural move of God in our world today. That we are believing today for the miraculous. That we are believing today that people will get caught up in the amazement and wonder of the person of Jesus, not just in the month of December, but throughout the year. That we are seeing people caught up into who he is. And I want to end with this thought. John 1, verse 12 says this. Yet to all who did receive him, who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me read it one more time. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so here we are at the beginning of Advent, and we are receiving this gift from God. There is the much used analogy of you can have a gift, but it's really not yours until you receive it. You don't have to do anything to get it. It is yours. It is a gift that's got your name on it, but you have to receive it. And so John here says, there is a gift that has been given, and his name is Jesus. And to all who receive him, and all who believe in his name. So you receive from him. You don't reject it. You don't reject the gift of Jesus because you're saying, I don't deserve this. I can't take this. It doesn't matter. None of us deserve it. That's not what it's about. It is in God's good pleasure as a good father to give you a gift that you don't deserve. It is in his good pleasure to say, no, open it, take it. You are so valuable. You haven't earned this, but I just want to give it to you because I love you. I want to express my love to you. And so we receive it. And in the opening process, we believe it. We believe it. And we can learn a lot from kids. Right? Going back to the kids, we can learn a lot from just receiving. There's never been a kid that says, no, I don't deserve that nice sparkly present under the Christmas tree. They cannot wait for it. And they receive it because once again, kids believe that their parents are there with their best in mind, which hopefully that's true, and that their parents are there for their unending joy and pleasure and satisfaction. And obviously that can be a good thing. Kids will manipulate that and push the boundaries. But we need to know that God is good. That he says that actually there is all joy in my presence. That unending pleasures will be found at my right hand. That's who God is. And so we receive the gift from him. We receive the gift. And today we're thinking about that gift in the form of a baby that would change the world. And we receive it and we believe. And that belief. It takes faith because there is the supernatural. We've just said one aspect of it in the virgin birth, but we receive and we believe and then we become. We become his. We become his children. And everything is different. And we belong. We are his. We have a new name. And there is joy. And there is life when we give ourselves to God, when we come to him like a child, and we receive and we believe. And so, Father God, tonight, that's where we want to go, and that's who we want to be. God, you have come so that we might have life and have it to the full. Lord, I'm just asking tonight, God, and it's so natural for us to just take this Christmas story and allow it to become a trite, cute story about a baby Jesus laying in the hay and the nativity scene and all those things. But God, I'm just asking that tonight that story would not be trite. That we would move it into a historical perspective of the prophetic word that was spoken over a nation, that was spoken over the world, that a Messiah was to come. And we celebrate tonight at that coming, at the arrival of the coming King who would bring the goodness and glory of God to the nations of the earth. Lord, and I love how it all ties together. The announcing of having world mandate. And that mandate started a long time ago. And God, we receive your gift tonight. We receive the gift of Jesus. And as the world mandate video even talked about, we receive the gift of your heart, that you have given us your heart. Because in the end, this, as we have been taught, this season is not about receiving, it's about giving. And God, you have given us your heart. And we have the opportunity to give it away. So Lord, I pray tonight that we would be filled with a supernatural hope, an abounding hope that you are good and that there are good things in store. That your character is good, and that tomorrow you will be good, and that years down the road you will be good. And so our hope is full. Our hope is abounding. We are not discouraged. We are not overwhelmed because our hope is centered in you. Thank you, God. Tonight, I feel like God just wants to awaken our hearts. And I just keep picturing my kids and how they light up around this season. And I feel like God wants to light our hearts up to him around who he is, around the hope that he gives. And so there's two groups that I feel like God wants to minister to. There's some in this room that just need that hope, that you need to come alive to the hope that is found in the person of Jesus, that comes alive in the love of God that gave his only son, so that we could have life. There's others tonight that have found that hope, that have found that life, and God is saying you need to give it away. You have been made to give it away, to give away this hope. And there's creative ways that God has made you to specifically give that away, to be an expression of his hope to a world that is struggling with hopelessness. So Lord, I'm asking that hope would rain down from heaven tonight like a good gift, and that we would receive it. We would not reject the hope that you are offering. And that tonight we would be committed, that we would be compelled to give away that hope to a world in desperate need of it. That specifically as we are in the season of Christmas, that we would think about ways that we can give the hope of Jesus away to this world. We love you, God. We thank you for your presence.